Oh, that's such a great song, because this whole morning, now the rest of the morning, is going to be about Christ and what Christ is and how he's in us. Because we had yesterday the pieces of the armor that had to do with Lord, right? Remember? And those are the girdle, and the sword is about the Lord, and then the breastplate and the helmet is about Jesus. And so this morning we're going to be talking about the shoes and the shield, and they are about Christ. Remember, it's put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's everything that God has made available to us. We are lacking nothing. The word Christ is, it's an English word that we use all the time. We say Jesus Christ, right? Like it's his last name, like Jan Majer. Right? Jesus Christ. But what I want to teach you this morning is to understand what the word Christ is, so you'll never say it like that again. The Hebrew and Aramaic word is pronounced Mashika. Mashika. And it's a really, really beautiful word. It means to anoint. So if you say Jesus or the deliverer who is the anointed one is basically what you're saying when you say Jesus Christ, Jesus the Mashiach. But there is also a play on words there, because the verb that Mashiach comes from, which means to anoint, like we're anointed, we're filled, is also the word for to measure, Mashach. Where you get Mashika means to anoint, but it also means to measure. So what Christ is the anointing. You've heard that, like, in Christian circles, right? I got to get the anointing. Well, we already have the anointing. It's inside. But what that anointing is the full measure of the Spirit that was on Jesus. We have it. In the Old Testament, the prophets and all of the wonderful believers in the Old Testament, they had the Spirit by measure, a certain measure. And like when Elisha took over from Elijah, he asked God for a double portion of the Spirit, right? Well, when Jesus walked on this earth, he had the the most measure that there was ever possible to have of God's Spirit on him. And then when we are born again and we have this thing called Christ in us, what that is the complete measure of the Spirit that he had. It's now given to each one of us. And there's no portion to it. It's not measured out in that sense. It's the measure of the anointing of the Spirit. And that's given to you, to you, to you, to you. There's no difference. Nobody gets any more measure. We all get the full measure of the gift of Christ. Remember that verse? So now, every time you hear the word Christ, it's going to be, oh, yeah, that's the measure I've got. That's what I have inside me. It's everything that he had. It's his love, his peace, his joy, his wisdom, his understanding, his faith. You need faith? Hey, it's in there, right? So that's what we're going to be talking about today in these two parts of the armor, is that we have the fullness, we have the measure of everything that we need already. So, you go back to your chart and just look at it and remember that there's a part we do, but then there's the part that we have. And what we have is this full measure. So when you look at the first one, and we're going to talk about the shoes, and you go to Ephesians 6, it says, bind as a sandal on your feet the goodness of the gospel of peace. Okay, it says, bind as a sandal on your feet the greatest, latest flip-flops. These kind of sandals or the sandals it's talking about here, and you can look at your picture. This picture doesn't even really do justice to what the footwear looked like, because they were sandals and they were laced up like that. But they were, this one looks like it's just like almost like sandals you'd wear to the beach, right? But these were very heavy duty. They're made out of leather. They're heavy duty. They had thick soles. And in the soles, there were even nails embedded in there so that you would have completely strong standing so you could walk on rocky ground and it wouldn't bug your feet. And they also normally wore, especially in battle, there was another piece of leather that's called a greave, and it was over your shin. So it covered over the sandal, too. You know, sandals, I mean, flip-flops. If you go to, you know, trying to climb a mountain with flip-flops, right? It doesn't work. So that's not the kind of sandal this is, or the shoe. It's a complete covering of our feet. So that's the first thing to see. And it makes a firm platform. Now, the two words that are difficult to understand in this section here, it says, bind as a sandal on your feet the preparation of the gospel of peace, is what King James says, right? Well, in my translation, I translated the word preparation goodness, because that's more along the lines of what it is. We get the idea that we have to do the preparation, but that's not so. We do the binding on. But the preparation or the goodness of the gospel of peace is already part of what we have in Christ. So we need to understand what that is. Go back to Ephesians 2 and just look briefly at verse 8. For by his grace we were redeemed by faith, and this was not from ourselves, but it is the gift of God. It's a gift, right? The gift of Holy Spirit is equal to what the full measure of Christ is. So it's a gift to us, not from works, so that no one would boast. For we are his own creation, who are created in Jesus Christ for good works. Those works which God prepared previously that we should walk in. That word creation could also be translated poem. You know, we're God's beautiful poem. We're his masterpiece. He designed it to be this way. And his design, his idea, like Robert was talking last night, this was a secret that was kept from before the foundation of the world, that there would be the full measure of the Spirit in every single believer. Everyone. So not only just on that his son had it, but that would be multiplied, you know, a whole bunch of times, because then it would be everybody who had this exact same thing. So it says we, right? We together are this beautiful poem that God has made, which is his masterpiece. And the key element is that everyone has the fullness of Christ. So isn't God good? That's why it's goodness. It was his idea. It was not our idea. We didn't do anything to deserve it. It's a gift, and it's just given to us on this beautiful silver platter, saying, here you go. Here's everything that you would ever need in this beautiful, beautiful package. So also, you see that verse, and you say, okay, who are created for good works, those works which God prepared previously that we should walk in. So God prepared the works that we should walk in, right? So when I'm binding this thing on my feet, what am I binding? I'm binding the goodness that God has already prepared for me to walk in, all the works. He already prepared them, right? This is really important to get, okay? Because we don't make the works. We do the putting on of the shoes. If I put my shoes on in the morning, right, and then I'm ready. That's why it's also translated preparation, because I'm ready. I've got my shoes on. Now what? What do I do? You start walking, right? And you walk then in the gospel of peace. And you can translate that where it's the gospel that brings peace. Which gospel is that? It's the gospel of the mystery, where we are one body. It is God's masterpiece. It's his idea. It's his design. And I don't have to even figure that out. All I have to do is just take my shoes. Now they're prepared, right? And now all I have to do is just take one foot and go, okay, I'm ready. I'm ready. I'm going to go. And the works are unfolded for each one of us to do. Now, look at Ephesians 4. It says gospel of peace because it's the gospel that brings peace, where he brought all these different types of people together, the Jews and the Gentiles primarily. They were completely opposite, and God brought them together and so made peace. But look at Ephesians 4. This really kind of paints the picture the best of exactly how God put us all together. Ephesians 4 and verse 15. But we should be steadfast in our love so that in everything of ours we may grow up in Christ. Now who's Christ? Think again what I just told you when you see the word Christ. That we may grow up into the full measure of the Spirit of Christ, right? Who is the head? He's the example. He's the one who lived it. He knows everything about it. So don't you think he's going to communicate that to us by way of the Spirit? All right. From him, from the head, the whole body is fit together and is knit together in all the joints according to the gift that is given by what? Measure. Ah, the measure. What's the measure? The measure is Christ. It's given by measure. So it's not like, you know, you get this measure and you get this measure and you get this measure and, you know, and you're more important so you get a fuller measure. Uh-uh. It's given by measure, by the full measure of every single believer gets it. The youngest to the oldest. The one just got born again yesterday to the one who's been walking with God for 50 years. Isn't that? That's just so cool. According to the gift that is given by measure to each member for the growth of the body, that its building up would be accomplished in love. All right, so we each have the Spirit, the same Spirit. It's a full measure, all right? That brings us together where we have a touch point. You have it. Okay, so now when I stand next to someone who has that same measure, then I can be knit together with them because there's this point of touching. So when it says that we're knit together in all the joints, the point of connection is that we have the same Spirit. The building up of it would be accomplished in love. And in Colossians, it talks about how we have, with the bands, there's bands. Well, the bond or the band is love. You have a joint, right? And the bones are connected together. Here's my shoulder. The bones meet, right? But if they were just meeting and there was nothing holding them together, they would just fall apart really fast. So here's my bones. They're meeting because they have a touch point, right? They have the same Spirit. Now, what holds it together is love because it's the band. It's like the cartilage on our shoulder. All of our joints have cartilage that covers it, that binds it and bands it together. Those are the words about knitted together or compacted together. And so you have the same Spirit. And then you have the love of God that really joins us all together. That's the gospel of peace. That's what we have to be able to have as good news for everyone and anyone. And you go, yeah, everybody's looking for love in all the wrong places, right? Well, it's here. It's right here. You can have it. It's not that it's impossible. There is this incredible love that is going to bind us all together. And then God was so good. He was absolutely fabulously great in that he gave us the equal gift. So no one is more important. No one is more special, or not even ministers, okay? They have the same gift. Now, the only difference, or why you call somebody a gift minister, is that at some point where they, God has called them, they give their entire life to the body. They don't get any more spirit, though, okay? It's not like there's some, oh, well, you know, she must just have this real fabulous anointing to be a teacher because look at it, it's all coming out of her mouth. No, it's the same spirit. It's just that within that spirit, there's a capability of being everything that Christ is. So he was a teacher, right? He was a prophet. He was a pastor. He was an evangelist. He was an apostle. And he had all the rest of the stuff. So we have it all within the gift already. And nobody gets any more than anybody else. Now look over at 1 Corinthians 2. And we'll start putting this together here. 1 Corinthians 2, in verse 7. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, which was hidden and which God determined beforehand, from before the ages, for our glory. I was so blessed that Robert shared that last night, because I said, hey, that's great. Now I don't have to do that in my teaching this morning so we can get to the shield, all right? But here we go. God, he speaks the wisdom of God in a mystery which was hidden. God hid it. He knew that if the adversary, the devil, Beelzebub, Satan, all his minions had known about this mystery, he never would have crucified Jesus Christ. Never. Because he was only one guy walking around with the full measure of the Spirit. Right? But now it can be every single person who is born again, and it receives and believes unto righteousness. So that's what it says in verse 8. Not one of the authorities of this world knew, for if they had known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, the eye has not seen and the ear has not heard, and into the heart of man has not entered what God has prepared for those who love him. Now this is a quotation from Isaiah. So I want to read it to you because it's really amazing. Isaiah 64 in verse 4. Remember, we were talking about God made the works for us to walk in, and he prepared them from before the foundation of the world. He knew exactly. He knew we would be right here in this room right now in Maine. That's astounding. He knew that from before the foundation of the world. Isaiah 64 and verse 4 is where this is quoted from. It says, for since the beginning of the world, men have not heard nor perceived by the ear, neither hath the eye seen, O God, beside thee, what he hath prepared for him that waiteth for him. Okay, so we get the idea that, you know, we don't get it, right? And neither hath the eye seen what he hath prepared. So we get that part. But how this should be really translated is this. It's, let me read it to you. This is from the ESV. No eye has seen a God besides you who acts for those who wait for him. No eye has seen another God, a God, any other God besides you who acts for those who wait for him. There is no other God who can do that besides him. He is the only one who made these beautiful works for us to walk in. We had, you know, such a wonderful time praising this morning because, when we sing and when we praise, and it's like this stuff just kind of wells all up inside. Like, there is no other God besides you. You are so awesome. You are the awesome God. You are the everlasting God. You are the one who did this. You are amazing. You had this mystery hid. That's the good news that we preach. that everything you would ever need in life is provided for you and given to you as this gift. Whew. Whew. Okay. Oh, the good news of peace, right? It's the good news that breaks down all the barriers that are between people and provides the way for us to see that we have a special place. Because part of the mystery also is that we are members in particular. Yes, we each have the same spirit in us and the same gift, and it's a full measure. But the flip side of that is that God loves diversity. That's why I wore this jacket today, because look at it, it's got all these colors. It's got all these colors. And so, you know, you wear navy pants, right? But hey, look at all the colors. and this thing too has all kinds of colors. God really loves diversity. He didn't want us, he wants us to be all the same in that we all have the Spirit, right? But the works that we're walking in, the gospel, how we bind our on our feet, the shoes, is all different. Every flower is different. Every leaf is different. Every snowflake is different. God truly loves diversity. He made it that way so that it would, every person would be unique. So another part of the mystery is that everyone has their own place. So I don't have to do Scott's place. I don't have to do your place. I don't have to do anybody's place but my own, because God made works for me to walk in. So then I can just go, oh, great. Oh, that is so great. That is so relieving. Because, you know, well, like for an example, you know, I have my degree in music. All my life I've loved music. I play piano and all this stuff. But then, you know, when I first heard Scott sing, Sal sing and Scott too, I was just like, I want to sing like that. How come I can't sing like that? It's so awesome. It's just so wonderful. And it just melts people's hearts. And I think, oh, gosh, I would just love to be up there doing that. And initially, in fact, actually for a long time, I didn't play the piano at all, because I thought, well, you got to either be one or the other. You're going to either be a minister or you're going to be a piano player. And I decided I really wanted to be a minister. So I spent years where I didn't touch the piano at all. And then finally somebody said, well, you want to play something for, you know, some hymn? And I go, okay, great, sure. I'll play it. And then later they came up to me and said, like, that was so beautiful. And I realized that that was just another work for me to walk in. It wasn't maybe necessarily my entire thing that I do, but I was withholding from the body something, a work that God had planned for me. Because as a child, he taught me how to play the piano and all these different things. So I had this ability, and then I said, no, I'm not going to give that to the body. You know, all I want to do is stand up here and teach. That's all I want to do. No. Works can be all different kinds of things. Okay, so flip over to 1 Corinthians 12. What the armor, this piece of the armor goes against is the dragon. And the dragon is the one who always is causing division and envy, jealousy, competition. The dragon is the symbol of many Eastern, Far Eastern countries, right? You see it all over, everywhere. You see the dragon, right, combined with the serpent. The dragon has really occupied for centuries the whole band, which they call the 1040 window, and that includes India. It's across the whole East, and it's held that area of the world in bondage and in violence for centuries. But it's beginning to crack because the dragon is just another principality. He doesn't have any more, he's not, you know, the fire, you get the picture of the fire-breathing dragon, rawr, right? Okay, hey, he's no different than Belial, who's the worthless one and causes people to be feeling unworthy. What's the difference? There's nothing. It's just another tactic. But God made the mystery to be the exact opposite provision for the dragon, for every kind of division, every kind of competition, every kind of envy that there is. And that dragon, the whole way it works with the spirits that work under him and everything, it's everything from being mild to being extremely violent, right? So murder, lots of wars, the fighting, you know, where people just, you know, really literally kill each other off. That's the violent end of it. But the mild side of it, we can see in the church all the time. The envy, the strife. I want to be like that person. I don't want to really do this, but I'm doing. Like, no, we just need to bind on our shoe the works, the shoe, okay, and then just start walking in the works that God has provided for us to do. And then there won't be any competition. So look at 1 Corinthians 12. I actually kind of borrow this illustration from Joyce Meyer, so I have to give her credit for this. But you would read in verse 14, "For also the body is not one member, but many. For if the foot should say, 'Because I am not the hand, I am not part of the body,' because of this, is it not part of the body? And if the ear should say, 'Because I'm not the eye,' I'm not the eye, I'm not Sal, I'm not Scott. I'm not part of the body. Because of this, is it not part of the body?" Okay, so this is the illustration that Joyce Meyer uses, right? She's like, here's my nose. It's saying to my hand, "Look, my hand, it has a beautiful bracelet on it. That bracelet is so wonderful. Look at the hand gets to do that. Oh, my gosh, look, it's so great. It's so beautiful. Look how beautiful it wears it like this, right?" And my nose is saying to that, "I want to wear the bracelet. I'm going to put it on. Oh, look, it works. I can wear the bracelet now. I can be the hand. I'm so great. I can be the hand, and I can walk around. And, oh, my goodness, I can't see anything. And I can't smell anything either. And, oh, dear, now my hand is not working either because I can't tell it what to do. Uh-oh. It doesn't work, right?" Then she takes her shoes, right, and she goes, "Oh, my hands, they're looking at my feet. My feet, they wear shoes. Oh, I want to wear shoes. Oh, okay, I'm going to wear shoes. I'm going to put them on my hand. Oh, there, they fit. See, they really do fit. They kind of fit. But they don't fit very well. No, I can't pick up anything. No, I can't write. No, I can't. But I've got shoes on. Look, my hands have got shoes on." And I'm walking around and saying, "Oh, I'm so great. I've got shoes on." But is the hand doing what the hand is supposed to do?
No.
No. It's so great. It's so perfect. But that's the illustration of what we do in the body, where we say, "I want to be like that person. I don't like who I am. I don't think it's important." And see, that's the beginning of the dragon getting in there and saying to our, where we say to ourselves, "I'm not important. God doesn't have works for me to do. I don't have a place in the body." It's not true. Look at verse 27. "You are the body of Christ." Christ, right? Christ. Everybody having the full measure, everybody having the whole spirit, everybody having everything. You are the body, though, where each one is a member in particular, and they each have their own place. That's basically what Aramaic says, is that we are members in your place. You have a place. Members in particular. I want to be a particular. I like being a particular. Now, once I finally learned all this stuff, then I didn't have to stress anymore that I couldn't make jokes like Scott. I couldn't get up and stand and tell these beautiful stories where everybody would be just laughing their heads off. I tried to do that, and it was a disaster. It was a total disaster. And people, you know, like, well, anyway, I can never remember a joke. And so you would get to the punchline and go, I forgot what the punchline is. Oh, so anyway, you know, God works in us all individually. And it's so wonderful to just be who you are. And it's so freeing. That's part of our armor. Now, one of the major attacks that the dragon does is he tries to isolate and destroy so that he can destroy and put up a hierarchy. Like if you think about the Chinese and Japanese cultures and everything, there is very hierarchical. You always had the shogun or the guy who was the emperor or, you know, and then everything is all in a row. And you don't go above your station. That whole setup, even in the church, of having, you know, somebody who's like the overall big cheese and then, you know, different levels on down. Well, I'm in the middle level. You know, I'm the middle management here. And you pride yourself on that and stuff and say, well, you know, I got chosen because of my great ability. No. Who's the head?
Right.
He is the one who is in charge of the body. It's his job to figure out what everybody's place is supposed to be. And then it's really cool here because it says, God, look back at verse 24. Those members that we have that are honored do not require honor, for God has joined together the body, and he has given more honor to the member who is least, so that there would not be division in the body, but rather that all the members would care for one another equally. So if we really look at your neighbor, just look him in the eye and say, I see Christ. When you really look at someone who's right next to you, who God has put next to you, no matter if it's just one time a year where you come to visit or whether it's on an everyday basis, when you look in someone's eyes and you see Christ, then you can care for that person. And there won't be any division. There won't be any strife. And you'll admire, wow, that is so cool how God works in you in Christ. It's so wonderful. Each person. I mean, we saw that last night. Just so many very different ways. And that's what God loves. He wants snowflakes. He wants everybody to be a snowflake. And not to be ashamed about being a snowflake. Always saying, well, I'm a little bit different snowflake than other people. I'm always different. I don't know what to do about that. I'm always different. It's a good thing. That's the good news of the gospel of peace. All right, so we got the last piece now, the shield. Go back to Ephesians. You got to read it. Ephesians 6. Okay, we bind as a sandal on your feet the goodness of the gospel of peace. And with these, take to you the shield of faith by which you will be empowered with strength to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. There's the evil one, of the wicked one, the evil one. All right, what the shield does, if you look at your picture here we go, the picture of the guy. The soldier. This is a full body shield that we're talking about here. It's 3 to 6 feet tall. Like I'm not even 6 feet tall. So right, the shield would come up to here. It's huge shield, right?
Sure.
And it was normally made out of wood, but it was covered with skins, and the skins were oiled so that, you know, they would fit very tightly. And also that they would be, the skins would be multiplied in layers so that if there was an arrow that would be shot towards the shield, you could put up the shield and it would be deflected, or, you know, it wouldn't go right into the shield. Because, like, if you shoot a bow and arrow into a piece of wood, it's going to go in there, right? So they put layers of skins and protection. Sometimes they were covered with metal, too. But this is the coolest part about the shield. Okay, it says, take to you the shield of faith, by which you will be empowered with strength to quench all the fiery arrows. All right, so I don't know about you, but I always had this picture of, like, cowboys and Indians, you know, where here's the arrows, and they got fiery arrows, and they're raining down on, or they're being shot from a distance, right? And so they have a little bit of fire on them. And so all I have to do is just put up my shield, and that'll quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, right? Well, listen to this explanation of some of the what the fiery darts really were more like. It says, Livy tells of a huge dart used at the siege of some battle, which was impelled by twisted ropes. There was used by the Saguntines a missile weapon called a phalarica, with a shaft of fur and round in other parts except toward the point whence the iron projected. This part, which was square, they bound around with tow, which is like a, that you ignite, you know, to make fire, right? And bespeared with pitch. It had an iron head 3 feet in length, so that it could pierce through the body with the armor. Now that's a fiery dart. And that's pretty much what those fiery darts are that the enemy sends. They're more like missiles. And what the purpose of it was, this huge iron head that had this pitch that would ignite, was they would set it on fire, but if it hit a person or hit the shield, it would burst into flame right there. So the idea was not only to just, like, pierce through the shield, but it was to get the person so afraid that they would throw down their shield, and then they were completely exposed to attack. Because you didn't want your shield to catch on fire. So here comes the fiery dart. It's coming close, and you just kind of go, you freeze. It's coming right at me. It's coming. It's coming, and once it hits me, then it's going to burst into flame. I better just throw down my shield. And then you're a sitting duck. You know? Or it's kind of like, you guys are from Maine, so, you know, deer in the headlights, right? If a deer crosses the road and the headlights are coming, they freeze. Because they're like, the car's coming at me, the car's coming at me. And, you know, splat, right? This is the method of attack. And you can see how that works with fear, for example, or situations like natural disasters. I mean, you guys just went through it where there's a storm coming. The storm's coming. The storm's coming. The storm's coming. The storm's coming. And you get like, what do I do? How do I do it? I don't know what to do, you know. The whole purpose of this kind of attack is to make us afraid and throw down the shield. I was thinking about a time, I think it was 2007, where we had the fires. We had really severe fires in Southern California, and they were everywhere. There was all kinds of fires. They were springing up everywhere. And there was one of the believers who lived in a town called Poway. In fact, it's Jesse Barnacle's new husband, Ryan, and his family. They lived in Poway. And the fire was really raging right near the edge of this particular community. And it had come within, I don't know, maybe half a mile of their house. So what Donnie and Ryan and all the sons did was they got up on top of the roof of the house and they started saying, in the name of Jesus Christ, that fire, you need to turn. They started using their power and authority that they had in Christ, And they did that for about like 2 hours. And the smoke is billowing, and you know, everybody's supposed to evacuate. You're not supposed to be standing on your roof. Certainly not on your roof. Because what, you know, the fire could just, really the way the fires work is they could just rage right through that whole canyon and, you know, they would be stuck on the top of the roof. But anyway, they were just, they were really standing against this fire. And as they were standing there, they literally saw the fire turn. And that fire came up to the edge of Poway, where there's all kinds of really beautiful, you know, houses, and it stopped, and it turned, and it went away. There was another believer who had a ranch up in the mountains, and it's pretty deserted areas, lots of rocks, and there were really not very many houses surrounding it, but their house is on the top of this big ridge, and there's other houses that are all, like, you know, scattered around, all around them. And they had to evacuate, and they were not near their house for, I think, 3-4 days, something like that. You know, when the fire's raging and all the reports are saying, oh, the fire just went all the way through that whole area. So they're just sitting there really quietly just praying. All the believers were praying for their homes and stuff like that. And they went back, and they drove up to their property. And the fire had burned literally all around them. It had burned every single house all the way up that ridge, all in a circle, all the way up the ridge. And they got to the top of the hill where they could see their house and their house. Not one stitch of any of their acreage was burned. None of it. It was like God just put this bubble of protection around the top of that mountain, because that, I mean, that fire went through and destroyed hundreds of houses in that area. And they call their ranch Grace Ranch. And it surely is. I mean, the fire came right up to the edge of it, right all the way around. And, you know, there's lots and lots of stories like that. The part of the armor that we have to combat is the shield of faith. Okay, now put together everything that I've been talking about. Is this your faith? Is it our faith that we're talking about? No. So it has to be, the faith there has to be a figure of speech where faith is representing something. So I believe what faith here is it's a metonymy. It's where faith takes the place of what you have faith in. And I'll show you the example of it, because we were just mentioning it briefly this morning in the record in Acts chapter 3 of the man at the temple gate beautiful. In Acts chapter 3, Peter and John, you know, go up to the temple, and then Peter says, you know, look at us, and he looked at them, expecting to receive something from them. And Peter said, I have no gold and silver, but what I have I will give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, rise up and walk. And he took him by his right hand and he started walking. Okay. Now look at verse 16. Later on, when they get called on the carpet, because this guy is going around and, you know, he's walking and leaping and praising God, and everybody, how did that happen? How did he get healed? And they're talking to these guys, and they say to him, okay, verse 16. By the faith of his name, he has strengthened and healed this man whom you see and know. And the faith that is in him has given him this wholeness before all of you. Remember, we were talking about we have the faith of Jesus Christ, right? That's part of the gift wrap package, is his faith. Now, the faith of his name, it's the name of everything that Christ is what the weapon is. It's the name. So it also includes, you know, the other manifestations. It's not just faith. Faith is one of the manifestations. But it's also miracles, healing, gifts of healing, discerning of spirits, prophecy. All those are part of the impartation that we have, that when we hold those up and we use the name of Jesus Christ and say, stop in the name of Jesus Christ to a fire or to a disaster or to a sickness or to whatever kind of thing is coming our way that's like that fiery missile, when we hold our shield up and say that in the name of Jesus Christ, it has all the power behind it of everything that Christ had. It's not my faith. It's the faith of his name. The man at the temple gate believed that when Peter said, in the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk, that he could do that. So it's not my faith. Oh, praise God. It's not my faith anymore. But the faith, the name, the power that we have been given by way of the Spirit is what blocks. It's what quenches. And it says quenches, right? It doesn't mean like put them out only part way. It's not, here comes the sickness. Here comes all this stuff attacking you. Now you're only going to get deliverance in this small way. It really is going to land and burst into flame. And you're going to have to deal with that. No, it says it quenches it. It quenches it almost even before it gets to the shield. But even if it's coming close, the purpose of it is to not be afraid. I mean, God said it in the manifestations today. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't drop your shield. Don't look at the missile coming at you going, oh my goodness, what am I going to do? You put up your shield. That's what you do. And you say, in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Or whatever it is that you need. You have the authority. You have the power. You already have the ability. So it's not dependent on your faith. It's okay to have some fear. The missile's coming. It's real. The storm is coming. The storm hit. There's all kinds of things that happen in our lives where there are storms. But we can be more than conquerors, and we can be victorious in them by using the shield. It's about Christ, see? It's about his power. It's about his faith. It's about his shoes. You see? Oh, gosh, it's just so exciting. I don't even know where I am in all my notes and stuff. So, hey. Faith is not what we do, but it's what we have. So here's another example that I think is a really key kind of example about how the faith works. If I need faith, okay, if I have a sickness in my life and there's something that's the matter, it goes back again to what we've been talking about all along, is that we help each other with the armor. Okay, I say to myself, sickness, be gone in the name of Jesus Christ. And it doesn't go. What do? I throw down my shield, right? I go, well, that didn't work. No. I go and I lock shields with somebody else. And however many people I need to lock shields with, that's what you need to do. And then you become this impenetrable wall where it's not just my shield, but it's everybody's shield in a row, right? And shields in back, and shields on the side, and shields up above, and shields wherever we need them, shields. Because we each have the authority and the power of Christ. So if we just stand together, then we will be able to defeat a lot of these situations. I told you the story yesterday about the business a little bit. Well, one of the key things that I had done was, I think it was last Sunday, right? Last Sunday, I got to teach at Point Loma, and I was talking about a little bit about the big put-on thing that we talked about earlier. And but anyway, during the process of the teaching, I asked everybody to pray with me. And that was the first time that I had kind of, you know, made a broader request that we really needed prayer in our business. There were a number of people who knew we did, and that's awesome. But so I had, you know, whatever, a dozen people that were standing with me and praying with me about it. And I realized that morning that I needed to ask a wider group of believers, because there's power in the many. And as soon as I did that, it was like that was another reason I believe that it broke through. You know, many people didn't even know what was going on or why you needed prayer. But there's no shame in needing prayer, right? There's no shame in the fact that the fiery dart is coming. That happens. It happens to every single one of us. So let's just grab our brother and go, I need your shield today. I need it really badly. Please help me. Okay, and then, you know, they can minister. They can pray for you. They can teach you something. They can speak God's word. They can use all the other parts of the armor too, and stand together. So that's really actually the conclusion of Ephesians 6. In verse 18, we do all this stuff, putting on all this stuff. We got the shield of faith. We got the helmet. We got the shoes. We got the we got the breastplate. We got the girdle. And then we got the sword. Verse 18, with all prayers, with all petitions, pray at all times spiritually and in prayer. Be watchful in every season, praying continually and interceding for all the holy ones. So there's five times in there it says with all prayers, all petition, all times, every season. We're in a spiritual battle that never quits, okay? But let's just say I get tired. I'm tired of fighting in this battle. This is when we need this. We need every one of us to be doing all prayers, all petitions, all praying all the time in every season. So that when I get tired, then you will be praying and you will see, oh, Jan is tired. What can I do for her? And we'll encourage or help or put our shield in there or say, hey, you forgot your breastplate, or why'd you walk outside with no shoes? Whatever it is that we need, we can help each other then, and we can stand together. So I want to just close with Philippians chapter 1. Verse 27. Says, conduct yourselves as is becoming to the gospel of Christ. Now you know what the gospel of Christ is, right? It's so wonderful. The gospel of Christ, so that if I come, I may see you, and if I am distant, I may hear about you, that you are standing in one spirit and in one soul, and that you are conquering together in the face of the in the faith of the gospel. We're conquerors together. We have this surpassing victory together. We can't do it by ourselves. It's we put on the whole armor of God. We as a body. And I was even thinking when Sal was singing the song about seek your face. We seek your face. It's Abba, our Father. It's my daddy, yes. And I'm so blessed to be so privileged to know a lot of these things and to realize, yes, I am filled with all the fullness of Christ. But when I see you, I see that you're filled with all the fullness of Christ. And that is just so enriching. It's so fulfilling. It takes all the pressure off, and it allows us to be able to just, you know, kind of breathe, put our shoulders back and go, I'm so glad I don't have to do this by myself. I want to do my part. I want to say, yes, Lord. I want to say, yes, lead me, teach me, show me. I want to do your will. I want to seek your face. But I want to do it together with you. and whoever it is that God puts me next to. Because it's not just our little group, you know. There are believers all over the whole world. And those are my brothers and sisters. And I want to know what they're doing. I want to know who they are. I want to understand and hear the stories about how God delivered them. So I can learn. So I can grow. So that I can help them maybe. Mm-hmm. Right? Because it's mutual. It's back and forth. It's not always only one way. Penny, I saw your shirt today when you were put out and said, that's a perfect shirt for showing the diversity in the body of Christ, because it's the same thing, same idea. It's this multicolored, multidimensional, all different aspects of every kind of person that you could ever imagine. God loves snowflakes. So let's stand together. Let's love on each other, because that's the glue that holds the whole body together. And that was God's plan that he kept secret from before the foundation of the world. God bless you.